when my first escrow office win, and she called me for $250, right, signing, I flipped that and I called up one of my sorority sisters.
If someone knows what they want and they know that you have it, then what's left to agree upon? When can you come? That's the question I'm wondering.
Let's talk about notary.
I'll give an example of what that looks like in the notary.
Fascinating. From the international best-selling author Tiger Toledo, the rise of the smart notary. The notary business will never be the same again. This book is designed and engineered to help notaries cash flow their business. And as a number one new release on Amazon and hit the top five bestsellers list, this is the perfect gift for this holiday season. Buy one now for yourself and a fellow notary public. Available now on Amazon. Grab your copy today.
And if this book doesn't make you money,
you can block us.
If you're feeling the vibe, join the tribe and subscribe.
Come again, select that rewind. It is now recording. Oh, God. See, oh, thank you so much. All right.
That's the little exclusive piece. If you weren't here on time, you missed that.
Yeah.
Okay, but let me say this. Kind of why it's important that you've done this is it sets you apart from 90, in your space, probably 98% of your peers. They're not doing anything like this.
You hear that, ladies and gentlemen? 98%. That is a huge margin of notaries and agencies that are not executing sales copy. Pay attention to that, because this is what's going to set you apart from all of these other notaries that are out there. Right. I said, real quick, Donnie, I just wanted to tell everybody, I said, you do not want to miss this episode right here. This is going to take your business to a whole nother level.
Yeah. A
whole nother level.
But and the great part is, even if you're just doing the basics, you're already a league ahead of most of your peers. And then if you're like anything like Tiger, you know, once you get a taste of it, it's blood in the water. It's like, I'm coming. I need to know more. I need to go deeper. I need to test more ideas. And then you'll be executing at a more advanced level that sets you way up in the upper echelons in terms of your ability to differentiate yourself and to make people want to work with you instead of Joe Schmo in the Smedium.
Yes.
No, hey, Smedium is cool. I got no hate in my heart for the dudes in the Smedium. But Tiger, you're a tall guy. I'm a pretty tall guy. So, you know, shout out to the extra watch. But yeah, okay, so here's one of the things that I think is absolutely critical.
Okay.
In 2021 is there's not going to be bored. People refuse to be bored. And, you know, Bridgerton's on. Let me turn that on. They're not going to sit and read boring copy, boring content. They're not going to watch boring videos. And if you talk about your notary business, just, you know, the basics or the fundamentals, the technical aspects of what a notary does or what a notary is, they're going to be bored out of their mind. Truth is, you know, you probably bored by it too. Like, you're excited about the opportunity that it creates for you to build a business, to make some money, have some control. I mean, make a lot of money, have control over your time, control over your life, control over who you work with. None of those things have anything to do with the technical aspects of the business. And so my main point is the biggest mistake everyone makes, I think, well, I shouldn't say everybody, but the biggest mistake that I see is not realizing that you have to be interesting. I say entertaining because that's like a little bit higher level, but not entertaining doesn't necessarily mean funny, but it means it has to be something I'd be willing to spend a little bit of time reading, watching, or listening. And if you're the only way to do that is to talk about something that people are already interested in, which is, you know, the things that I've categorized it like their dreams and desires. So what are they dreaming about? What are they desiring to do? If you talk about those things, you're automatically going to be interested, right? You talk about their fears and frustrations, they're going to automatically be interested in that, because if I'm scared of something, you can help me get handle that, I'm gonna want to read that. If I'm frustrated with something, you can help me get through it. I'm happy about that. And their pains and problems, same thing. So if you got, man, I can't get leads for my notary business. If we're talking about that, boom, I want to be in that session so I can hear how I can solve that problem. It's causing me pain because I can't reach the level of income that I want until I fix that. You're interested. And you haven't even done anything else except decided, I'm going to talk about what my reader is interested in. Mm-hmm. And as you notice, like I said, it's really about the things going on with your reader or, your, like I said, the viewer, if you're doing video, or the listener, if you're doing audio, podcast, or whatever. The things that they're interested in, not the technical aspects of your business. So don't be boring. That's number one. And really, number two is wrapped up in that. You have to talk about the person who you want to reach rather than talking about yourself. And this is probably the most common thing, even more than being boring. I don't know if it's worse or not, but everyone believes they need to talk about themselves, you know? And the truth is that people don't care about you. Not
facts.
Not really. They only care about, I mean, if you're family, they care. Maybe.
Yeah, depending on your family members.
Depending on who. It depends on how much they need what you got in your pocket. But people are interested in their own stuff, their own problems and their own goals, their own stack of to-dos. And so if you wanna write copy that people will read, that will get them to do what you want them to do, you gotta talk about them. Which goes back to the pains, problems, fears, frustrations, and dreams and desires that they have. How can I help them get what they want or get away from what they don't want and do it in a way that's unique and easy? That's what you got to do.
So let me ask you this. So yeah. Like sales copy for people that have not been exposed to sales copy and copywriting, where would they have seen sales copy? Like commercials? Ads? Like where are some of the common places that people are being exposed to sales copy every single day, but don't realize that they're being exposed to it?
Yeah, the emails you get in your email, in your inbox, that's copy. And now whether it's done well or not, that's two different conversations, but that's sales copy. Definitely commercials that you see, infomercials, obviously the ads that pop up online, if they're space ads or if they're little commercials on YouTube in between, or what that gets our heads, but little inserts between or in the middle of videos, it's copy. Websites, obviously the websites you go to, it may be bad, but it's copy, it's just bad copy. It may be good. But also phone scripts are copy. What else? Billboards, movie trailers.
Right.
Covers of the backs of books and backs of movies, that's all copy. So I mean, any written material or pre-planned material, like I said, if it's in video form, it can be the video, that is copy. And if they, I mean, whether they know it or not, it's copy, and it should be approached, you know, for what it's intended to do. You don't make a movie trailer to tell them what you want them to know about the movie. You make a movie trailer to make them say, I got to see that movie.
Right.
So we recorded it on 18 millimeter. Nah, nobody, I'm already bored. And I'm the one talking. They don't want to hear that. They want to hear Vin Diesel's going to take his shirt off. Denzel's going to break their neck.
Yeah.
Jared Leto's going to be crazy. He's gonna do whatever crazy thing he's gonna do. That's what they want to see. They want to see Will Smith running with his shirt undone too. That, you know, and they, so even though that's like video, it's images, but people are intentionally putting together clips, and you do it all the time, that tell a story and make people want to take an action. And in the case of a movie trailer, the action is, let me buy a ticket for that show. Or let me wait for that to hit theaters. And let me go to the theater to go see that show. Let me bring my friends so they can make $1 billion from that.
Right. And then, you know, there was a Speaking of trailers, as you see, like, I go nuts with trailers now. Like, I go crazy with trailers because of the things that you've been talking about. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, this is like my business coach. This is my mentor, friend. He shows me this stuff. So what I'm doing with this Notary War Room, I want to show you guys, I'm laying out the blueprint of what I've done to be successful as a notary and building a nationwide notary agency in a very, very short period of time. And a lot of it has to do with Donnie Bryant teaching me about sales copy. So there was something that you taught me. It was enter the conversation that the person is having in their mind. I believe that's what it was like,
yeah, right,
that they're already having, right?
Yeah.
Like, can you unpack that a little bit?
Yeah. I mean, that's actually, if you go way old school, you know, that's a quote from a book. I don't remember which book it is now, but anyway, the whole idea is because everybody's having a conversation in their own mind. We're doing it right now. Donnie's got, you know, boogers in his nose, whatever it is. We're all thinking about our own thing. And if you want to get someone's attention, the easiest way to get their attention and then get that attention in that where you can direct it into action is for you to get in on the conversation they're already having. Now, I put it in Lauryn Hill / Roberta Flack terms, and I say we're killing them softly with their own song, because we got to know what's important to them. We got to know what they're thinking about. We got to know what they're trying to accomplish as it relates to your business. We don't necessarily have to know, you know, about something that we're not going to help them with.
Right.
But as a notary, what are they thinking about when they're, you know, in the way that you can help them? How do you get in on the conversation they're already having? And it depends on your niche, depends on the particular service that you're going to do. But what are they already thinking about? What are the pains and frustrations that they're going through? And then you just talk to them about the thing they're already thinking about, the feeling that they're already feeling. You know, you just hijack the train that's already in motion instead of saying, "Hey, stop. Let's talk about notary. Let's talk about."
Yes. Yes. So I'll give an example of what that looks like in the notary business from what you've taught me, right? So a lot of you guys know that I specialize in power of attorneys, right? So what I would do to enter in the customer's mind, the conversation that they're having, right? I'll write something. And again, like with technology, the way it is, you can get a real cheap microphone like this and you can voice type whatever you're saying and do it instantly, right? So I would type up something like, did your mom just come out of the hospital? And she has been diagnosed and is bedridden now. Is it hard for her to get around, right? To take care of her daily routines and chores and visit the bank and stuff? Well, you may need a power of attorney. Why don't you give us a call? Maybe we can help out. You see how that's different than click here. Hey, I'll be your notary. Like, give me all your documents. I'll print them out myself. It's a completely different beast, ladies and gentlemen. This is something that allows you to reach people on a massive level, which is convincing them to want to trust you, right? You're building trust because you understand their situation, what they're going through. You can kind of relate to what they're, and you're offering them a solution.
Is that my video? Yeah, man. I mean, I think that's a great analogy, great illustration, because if someone's in that position, and a lot of people are,
yes,
you know, you tell a story about, you can ask the question, but you could also say, "Hey, Thomas's mother just came out of the hospital," and you got a nice picture of the situation. And the story's like, "Ooh, what's going on with that?" Because I'm going through the same thing right now. And they're in the story just like a movie trailer. They're reading it and seeing themselves in it. And so there's no sales resistance. How could there be? You're not selling anything. You're just telling a story, and it's the story that they're living.
Yeah.
You're reading their diary to them and saying, "This is what's going on here." And then Thomas figured it out, though, how to help his mother out. So she,
see, I'm not on that level yet.
You're a bad man, no question about it.
I'm working on it, but that Thomas story, you just have me like, I was like, oh shit, what's going on with Thomas? And you just made it up. That's how fucked up it is, man. Like, damn. But yeah, okay. So for a person that never been exposed to copywriting, like, what are some three fundamentals that can just get their mind moving in the right direction? Like, what could they start doing?
Yeah, one of the things that you should start doing is looking closely at what Tiger Toledo was doing. This is real, really seriously. The way that any of us learn best, I mean, is by looking at what's working in the real world. You can read books, and that's cool. Nothing wrong with that. I read a lot of books. But books are just books. I want to see what's making money right now. What's moving the masses right now. And so, but also, you know, following Tiger, I mean, obviously you follow him, but paying attention and not just reading to get the information, but dissect what he's doing and say, why did Tiger say this? Why did Tiger put that there? Why did Tiger do that? Because Tiger has a strategy for what he's doing. Even if he tells you he doesn't. Yeah. A lot of times it's very strategic with the way he places where he puts them. And so just the act of thinking about why did he do that and how did it impact you when you read it or saw it or heard it, you just check your own emotions. Oh, I lost track of time reading the story. Or, ooh, I got a little bit upset and I wanted to fight somebody. Or, ooh, you know, I'm really excited. I want to go, you know, do that, whatever he was talking about. Because the emotion that you feel is the emotion that people who are like you, a lot of people like you are feeling. And so you just observe, check your own emotional responses and you figure out, okay, this is how he pushed my buttons. And then you go try and do the same thing with your own. You can do it in conversation. You can do it on your regular social media posts just to play around and see what happens before you start spending money on it. But just see, do people get angry when I do this? Sometimes you want to make people angry. At least I do.
and that's one of the core emotions too, right? Is like the pleasure versus pain, right? Yeah. And so in your opinion, what is the strongest emotion, pleasure or pain?
Well, pain is clinically proven to be a stronger emotion by a factor of two, apparently. I don't know how you determine it's twice as much, but clinical studies have shown people go through twice as much trouble, they'll put in twice as much effort, or they'll spend twice as much money to get rid of a pain than they will to get pleasure. Even if you think about it, we talk about the drug more than we probably should. But I mean, people are chasing the dragon, but also, I mean, when they start getting crazy because the withdrawal starts hitting them, like, ooh, shoot. Like, now it's pain. So you're gonna try to replace the replace the pain with pleasure, but you're driven more by the pain than by the pleasure. And the same thing is true about money, and the same thing is true about your health. Like, we're not going and getting vaccines. Some people are getting vaccines, right? But you know what we really want to do is play around until we get sick and then try and go have the doctor fix us. And so with COVID, maybe it's a little different because we're all in the pain of having been locked down all this time. But yeah. People buy aspirin. They don't buy preventive, like, I'm going to take this drug so I don't get a headache. They wait till they got a headache. They buy Tylenol, they buy Excedrin or whatever. And the same is true across the board. So anyway, pain is more powerful than pleasure. You got to be careful, though. And you got to test it out, because if you leave people, if your copy stays in pain for too long,
okay,
people can get paralyzed or they get depressed and feel like, you know, they may be paralyzed by saying, oh, this is such a bad situation. Or why am I even bothering thinking about it or trying? And especially right now, we were doing some studies. It was about a year ago now, right when COVID started getting pretty bad. The negative people they didn't want to hear it. Like, I'm tuning out instantly. So it kind of blew my mind, because I'm used to writing from a negative perspective a lot. Because it gets attention like police lights. When they turn the lights on,
yeah.
Nothing else in the world You see the light, you look at your speedometer, check to make sure your belt's on, check to make sure the heat's under the...
especially if you're a black man in America.
I'm telling you, it's instant. We don't, the pleasure, it doesn't exist. I'm just trying not to get ended today. So that's where it's at. So but if you stay with the negative, it can paralyze people and make them not want to continue on. But we were going with hope messages last year, and it's probably still working now. I guess we kind of backed away from testing it. But either way, even if you start with the negativity, if you start with the pain, you start with the frustration, you start with problems, you had to move into positivity quickly. You just use the negative emotion to grab them, because it does grab them just like the police life. You want to grab them and put them in a place where they recognize, I need to do something about this. And then you present them with the positive, which is you can do something about this. And here's what it is. And here's why it's safe. And here's why it's easy. And here's why it's cheaper than any other option that you got. So
is it like if you use the pain thing, are you saying like you put that light at the end of the tunnel kind of thing?
Is this like the story with your mom?
Be a happy ending story.
It needs to be a happy ending, so that they have, it's kind of that's what launches them into taking action. Like the story with your mother, she just came out of the hospital. It's emotional. It's sad. You know, you're worried about the future. You don't really know how things are gonna be. So you do that to pull them in. Like, it sucks. I wish I wasn't here, but I'm here. People are drawn to, they're drawn to stories about themselves. And then there, of course, people are drawn to negativity for whatever reason. It's just being human. But then you say, but it doesn't, you know, the frustration, there's a way out of it. Not 100%, but there's a way to avoid the problems with the bank and the problems with whoever else you got to deal, you know, all the things that your mother wants to do, she used to be able to do, and now she can't easily do. There's a solution. Power of attorney. Once you get that taken care of, your mom was at peace. You know, you don't have to, you only got a third of the amount of work you got to do. You're just going to go be able to handle business without having to go here and drag her there and do all these things.
And it's so versatile too, right?
Yeah.
Like there's like no restrictions on any type of business that you're in. I know there's some people on here, they have financial businesses. They may have a pet business. They may have consulting business. This is the like notary war room. So they have a notary business. They can use it in all aspects. Like I'll give another example. Let's just say you're in the real estate market and you're doing loan closings, and I'm gonna use your analogy of the pain part of it. Thinking about what the loan closer or the loan closer would be going through. Hey, is it hard for you to get, you know, a notary to notarize these documents? Are you like pressed for this deadline, right? Like panic mode, red alert, right? And you're like, well, look, then we can do this for you. We can do that for you. But I see what you mean with that. I want to put, give me a second, Donnie. I'm going to put on my light real quick.
Okay. I got these blue filter things in my glasses, and it makes it look like I got x-ray vision or something.
All right. So So ladies and gentlemen, also put in your questions so Donnie can answer some of your questions that you might have. I know we're filling up the chat here too. All right. So how'd you get exposed to copywriting anyway?
You know, what's crazy. When I was a kid, I wanted to be a writer. I didn't know what a copywriter was, obviously. But in my grandmother's house, I spent a lot of time at grandma's house. She had, I think I might have told you this, she had 25,000 books in the house, inside the house. I used to love climbing up the bookshelves and you know, going up the stairs and trying to reach for the books at the top that I wasn't supposed to be getting into. And so I grew up loving the written word. And I always thought I was going to write books when I grew up. I got into the retail. I got married when I was a freshman in college. Got into retail because I needed to make some money. and did that for some years and hated it. I hated it. All right. Just like everybody does. I got into, I was manager at Kmart working 60, 70, even 80 hours a week. I had three kids at the time. And so if I'm working 80 hours, I'm commuting in Chicago, commuting ain't no joke. And then getting home and I didn't have the energy to hang out with my family, and it was bad. And so I said, I got to figure out a way to make some money without going through all this. And I started messing around on the computer. I don't even really remember what happened, but I stumbled across, I believe John Carlton was first. I found this thing called copyright, and I said, oh. And the crazy thing is my wife told me years in advance of that. She said, you should do something with writing. You always kind of said you wanted to be a writer. I always ended up writing on the jobs I had anyway. Even at Kmart, I was writing emails for the district manager. He didn't give me no raise. I want you to write my emails for me. All right. But so she knew it before I knew it. And it just happened, I say providentially, because I wouldn't have never known to find it. But I found it at the right time. It was 2007. And I'm just like you. I had no idea someone had to write the stuff on the back here, you know, novel to get someone to pick up the book and read it. And I had no idea someone had to write the emails and someone had to write the websites and all those things. But I quickly learned most of those things, many of those things are written by professional copywriters who can get paid a lot of money to do it, because most people are not great at it. And a lot of people.
What is the earning potential for a copywriter?
The potential? I mean, there are copywriters who make over $1 million a year. Yeah.
That is why, ladies and gentlemen, I am learning this skill. I kid you not.
The other thing, man, listen, even if you're not a professional copywriter, but if you learn how to write copy for your own business,
yes,
you can make millions or more, tens of millions of dollars.
I know for a fact it works, because I used to try really, really hard to make money online. Couldn't do it. I'm talking about from online course to just anything, right? And then after I started understanding sales copy and email, I started selling out courses. My very webinar, if you guys ever want to go back to my link bio page, that title is sales copy. It says how to make more without working more, or right, by working less, right? Without working more. I forgot exactly how I put it, but that very title, once I changed the title, I went from 28%. I don't know if you got, like, y'all might think I'm bullshitting. Hold up, man. I got to show receipts, Donnie. They think I'm receipts. Fucking around. I'm gonna show y'all real time. Okay? Like, my webinars, I couldn't get past 30 people to sign up for it. Okay. I don't know if you guys can see it, right? This is when I first started my webinars, right there. It started at 38% and then it went down. 29. And then I changed the sales copy and then boom!
100.
And then look, it just keeps staying at 100. It stays at 100. You know what I mean? Like, it stays at 100, bro.
Receipts.
From that little tweak, ladies and gentlemen, that little tweak that I did just on the title. Now, you have to understand something. My last five webinars that were for free probably generated 500 emails. Now, out of those 500 emails, I can remarket to them. I can sell products, services, exclusive webinars, all kind. Promote my book, my latest book, right? It's crazy. It's crazy. It's like closing deals with print. That's massive, man. I don't have to talk to these people.
It's a dream come true.
Thank you, bro. Thank you. That's why I want to, like, people ask me, how do I learn this stuff? Look, I'm going to bring you my coaches, my business, my mentors, the people that train me.
That's all, folks.